Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Skip LaCour's Bodybuilding and Training Show with your host, Skip LaCour. Skip LaCour's Bodybuilding and Training Show is a weekly talk radio program that discusses any of the challenges that you face as you strive to create the best body you possibly can and outlines solutions. This is your opportunity to talk with Skip about what's most important to you in your training efforts, share your thoughts and opinions in an open forum, and learn from the experiences of other passionate lifters just like you at the same time. Skip LaCour is a six-time national champion and whose leadership and coaching continues to guide bodybuilders around the globe. Here is the host of this bodybuilding and training show, Skip LaCour.
All it takes is one new strategy, one new way of idea, one new way of looking at the same old situation that makes all the difference in the world. Welcome to this bodybuilding and training talk radio show. I am Skip LaCour. Where are you right now with your bodybuilding and training efforts? And what is that next level for you as you strive to create that body you really want? No matter how well you're doing right now, do you ever feel that angst inside, that drive, that desire to take it up another notch? Sometimes it's uncontrollable. Sometimes you just can't seem to get a handle on that angst. Knowing how to handle that drive, that angst, seeing it as a powerful force, something that empowers you to go to the next level, and not seeing it or feeling it as a source of frustration or overwhelm, is going to be a key factor on your ultimate success with your bodybuilding and training efforts. So what's stopping you from having the body that you really want? If you want to make improvements, and you want to do them effectively, efficiently, and in the shortest period of time, you are going to have to know exactly what it is you want. Getting what you want, finding the best combination of training, nutrition, nutritional supplementation, and mental strategies is going to be much easier when you know exactly what it is you want. The answers, well, they will start coming to you from a wide array of sources like magic once you know what you want. The answers may be right here during this talk radio show. Maybe it's something that I say that stimulates thoughts or gives you more clarity. Maybe it's something one of the other callers makes. If you want to call in, if you have a question for me, I want you to call in to 347-326-9145. Again, that number is 347-326-9145. You can also add your questions or your comments or your insights with me and other passionate lifters in our chat room while the show is live. So what's it for you, that next level, that thing that you want to find out today? Get clear right now. Is it with your training? Is it with your nutrition? Do you need a kick in the pants, some motivation? How about some clarity with all the information that you've already been given? Do you need more drive and determination to start doing the things you already know you need to do? What's it for you? Here's your chance to get some free coaching and call me and let's talk about what it's going to take for you to get more out of your bodybuilding and training efforts. Again, the number is 347-326-9145. That number is 347-326-9145. Like I said, all it takes is one new strategy, one new idea, one new way of looking at the same old situation that makes all the difference in the world. One breakthrough, whether it's with your training, your nutrition, your mental strategies, leads to another breakthrough, which leads to another breakthrough. And that's how it works, that momentum, one step at a time. I talk to a lot of passionate lifters out there, especially the younger ones who are rather new to the bodybuilding and training process. Sometimes their zeal and passion and enthusiasm gets them overwhelmed where they want all the answers without going through the regular learning curve. And a lot of times you know a little bit of information, you get enough to get going, and then you give that your best effort, and then you build upon the actual experience of trying out a certain strategy, and that builds to more breakthroughs, more sense of clarity, and then you build from there. You can't skip those steps, and unfortunately, it's a part of the process, not only in your bodybuilding and training, that's everywhere in life, so you need to keep that in mind. Oftentimes, you may find out that you're already doing everything right, especially for your time and grade. What you need is to just keep on keeping on. You need to keep on track and just continue what you're doing. The validation from a coach, an expert, a friend is all you need, and I want to provide that for you. I can help you do just that. I've been helping thousands of bodybuilders and fitness enthusiasts all over the world take their bodies to the next level as they're striving to bust through sticking points and plateaus. I've had an internet presence for over 12 years on my website at www.skiplacour.com. I've written 10 books. I've produced 7 DVDs. I've been writing for the muscle magazines all over the world for over 15 years. I do live seminars around the world, one-on-one consultations over the phone for passionate lifters all over the world. And right now, right here, I have this radio talk show for you to answer the questions and create more clarity for you. So take advantage of this opportunity and call in to 347-326-9145. And I have some phone lines open right now. This is your chance. Get a lot of emails afterwards. Hey, I wanted to ask this question. Could you be more clear? Well, this is the time to get that one-on-one coaching right now with me on the phone. We'll go through all the different facets of any challenges you may have. And getting this coaching on the phone, learning all about your situation is a lot more efficient than sending an email or doing on a message board, although those can be very helpful. A lot of the information as a backup resource to this show, to my website, you can find at the AST Sports Science Sports Nutrition website at www.ast-ss.com. That's www.ast-ss.com. You'll hear me quite often refer to the MAX-OT training program. Maximum Overload Training is what MAX-OT stands for. That's for heavy, intense, effective training, building the most muscle in the shortest period of time with the least amount of effort. That's what this program is all about. I've been using it for over 15 years, my 6 national championships, the guidance of AST Sports Science, their founder and president, Paul D'Elia, and my efforts throughout the year is what I'm presenting to you here in an outline fashion for you to understand. So you can take my years of experience, take what you can comprehend, even if things don't make sense, take it to the gym, build at a higher level than starting this process all by yourself all over again. No need to reinvent the wheel when a lot of these things have been figured out already. And just start at a higher level. Yes, there is a process that you will need to go through. I can write things down on a website or in an ebook or something like that for you, and you can get a certain amount of clarity. Don't expect 100% clarity right out of the gate. Get enough to get you started, get you motivated, give you a certain level of certainty and confidence, and then take it from there and build from there. Let's talk about the information gathering process. Okay, I have the privilege to start a forum discussion thread on the bodybuilding.com website, and there are a lot of great questions there, a lot of passionate lifters with a lot of different goals, to build more muscle, also strength concerns, eating concerns, a lot of good questions there, a lot of different levels of experience. And I think it's important for me to explain for those of you who are really passionate or who are looking for information to get this process going. First of all, let me say something. I can empathize where you're at. I can empathize the overwhelm with so much information out there. so much information from so many gurus or experts, so many great sources. And with the internet, what I found is there's anyone who is certain enough, confident enough, passionate enough, who has enough courage to step up as leader, will have an opinion on the board. And sometimes you don't necessarily know who it is who's giving the information. They could be eloquent in their presentation, and their information could be, you know, very good. It could be not very good. You really don't know. All you know is the presentation, how they sell it, how they present it. They could be giving you a combination of strategies that may seem like they work when you read them out on paper, yet they may not work in actuality. And the reason why is because their explanation of why it works and along with other strategies just does not make sense. And one thing that I try to do on whether it's the bodybuilding.com message board or on my website or when I answer emails is I don't want to just give you a black and white answer. If I were to say, hey, do 4 to 6 reps for this reason, this reason, this reason, okay, I know, trust me, I've been in your shoes. I've gone through this whole process for many years of gathering information, trying to quench my thirst for knowledge, too. I know that I can just do a couple clicks on the same website or click a few, search a few other websites and find just as compelling as a presentation to do 8 to 10 reps for such and such reasons. Okay, so which one is going to work? They both sound so great. And I know, what are you measuring my information that I give you? If I say, hey, do 4 to 6 reps with little explanation, or I don't follow up with a phone conversation, something that I can do more than just answer, just a black and white short answer that you may be looking for. How is my presentation going to be different than the couple clicks away with someone who says other information that may not be in line with it? It may be what may seem to you as something totally opposite. Well, then, how about the sources? What if you're with a bodybuilding legend or someone who has a nicely designed website or seems to know what they're talking about? How do you actually know what's going to work for you? And then you hear the things that people say is, well, everybody's different. You know, it's funny how that argument is always used, that everybody's different, you have to learn your body and things like that. Well, if that's the case, then you should just take a training program, any one of them, any basic training program, log off the internet and just get to work. Because intermediate, advanced routines, whatever it is, if it's all dependent on your individual factors, then there's no one who can give you an intermediate routine or an advanced routine because it would be your individual factors. And there's so many factors from training, nutrition, how you execute your body, your stubborn training body parts, and if they are indeed even stubborn parts, maybe you're just not executing the exercise. How can someone give you an intermediate or an advanced routine without knowing your particular situation, actually being there with you? So what I'm just saying is that, look, you need to get enough information, get you going with enough certainty and confidence. Use that certainty and confidence. Give it your 100% focus and attention. Support that with an eating program and then get to work. Get to work for 2 months, 3 months. From that point, you'll have a better point of reference to understand what has been taught to you anyway, to compare and contrast that to a different program. Stop looking for a program that makes so much sense to you before you even get going. You know why? How do you know it makes sense to you? What's your source of reference? How do you know what your body's going to respond to? Anything less than real application is just merely speculation on your part. It's just theory. And we can all throw a bunch of theories around. What does that actually do without your application? So when it comes to where you are right now in the information gathering process, where are you right now? So when you're listening to this radio talk show, all right, I have a couple questions for you. Are you, one, truly looking for a new strategy, a new distinction, okay? You're a blank slate. You're a thirsty sponge looking to absorb information that you are actually going to apply once you heard it, Okay, that's really important. Or are you just gathering information, as much information as you can? You're going from one website to another, one magazine to another, one guru to another, collecting as much information as you can. All right, and then when you get all these different strategies, somehow, some way, you're going to pick which one is better for you. I would ask you this question is, how are you making your decision? Is that based on who does the best sales presentation or what makes sense to you at the particular time? A lot of times it's not going to make sense. You're going to have to jump in there, feel it out, and do it. And why it is outlined the way it is will make more sense later. Okay. Are you listening to this program or are you clicking through the websites to get more certainty and confidence in a program that you're already doing? In other words, you're looking for validation. You're a big proponent of the MaxOT training program. You want to believe in it. You actually feel the results. Yet, you know, you're getting a lot of resistance, a lot of looks in the gym. What do you think you're doing? That's not going to work. 4 to 6 reps with that kind of weight. Hey, you're going to get hurt. That isn't what builds muscle. You're going to have to do more reps. You're going to have to do more work. You're going to have to do more volume. And it's creating a bunch of uncertainty in your mind where you think it works, but you're getting all these dissenting opinions. And so you're listening to me or you are going to website for more certainty and confidence, more validation in what you're doing, okay? Or are you not listening with an open mind at all? You have a way of, you have a training program or an eating strategy or whatever it is with your bodybuilding and training. You already have it in your mind that this is going to work. And actually, you're listening to what I have to say. You're looking for my Achilles heel. You're looking for holes in my armor, so to speak. You're mismatching everything that I'm saying. You're doing whatever you can to find fault or inconsistencies in what I say so you can disprove what I'm saying so you can go back to what you're already doing and get actually more certainty and confidence in what you're doing, but you're doing it in a different way. You're mismatching. You're looking for inconsistencies. If you think about it, let's talk about those again. You're truly looking for a new strategy. You're an open book. You're a thirsty sponge looking for actual knowledge that you're actually going to apply. Okay? Or you're already doing a particular strategy and you're looking for validation or more certainty and confidence in what you're doing. Okay? Or you're listening to what I say or you're reading whatever information on the internet so you can disprove it. You can mismatch. You can find holes in it so you can go back to what you're already doing for more certainty and confidence. Okay, so you need to think about that information gathering process and where you are right now. From my experience dealing with bodybuilders and fitness enthusiasts all over the world, the biggest hump you need to get over and what derails most lifters who are really passionate, want to get in shape, want to build some muscle, or whatever they want to do, when they get into the gym and they fail within the first 3 months, is that, boy, just so much information overload, so much confusion. They're putting in this work. They're showing up to the gym, you know, 4 or 5 days a week, and they don't know if it's going to pay off, and they don't know if what they're doing is the right thing. They see other guys doing it. Hey, he looks pretty big, yet the skinny guy really seems like he's knowledgeable, and they just say, hey, the heck with this. I can spend my time doing a lot of other things and have a lot more peace of mind while I'm doing it rather than beating myself up in the gym, and heck, I don't even know if I'm doing it right anyway. So it's getting through that information overload, that uncertainty, long enough to start feeling comfortable so you can start seeing results. So how you deal with that information gathering process is going to be extremely important to how long you last with these bodybuilding training efforts. And that's something that new bodybuilders, if you're new to the gym, what you really need to keep in mind, you need to get that certainty and confidence that you continue. Then there's another challenge that comes along, and it goes along with this information gathering process is, I certainly understand your need to have certainty and confidence to continue on, all right? Yet, you're not making the kinds of gains that you really want. And you're sticking to that strategy that you grabbed onto early on to get that certainty and confidence. Well, now you're at a point now where you're just not getting any results. Now what do? Do you stick to what you're doing? Do you just plug through it? Do you find reasons? Well, hey, this works for my body. Or do you take a leap of faith and try something new? Well, it would be my advice to you is once you develop a certain level of certainty and confidence, once you develop a certain level of practical experience, okay, you've taken a training strategy and you know its ins and outs because you've actually applied it, you've actually put 100% effort into it, you've actually backed up what you've done in the gym with proper eating habits to see results or not see results, then you take on more information or a new strategy from that point of reference, and then you build from there, all right? You don't want to stick too long in the same old, especially if you're not getting the result. There's going to be a point in time where you're going to have to take a leap of faith. And that's what I'm here for you. If you're struggling right now, if you're looking for more certainty and confidence, if you're whatever it is right now, have an open mind as you're listening to this radio talk show that I am indeed here to help you and give you the answers. But more importantly than just giving you the answer that I found to be the most effective over many years of training, I also want to teach you how to think. I want to teach you how to dissect the information that you listen to, whether it's on this talk radio show, my website, or any other website, or any other information you listen to from other gurus, and do more than just accept that what is being said. Critically look at it. Think about it. A lot of times when I ask people why they do the things that they do, they have no clue whatsoever why they do the things they do. And if I press them, if they want to stay strong with whatever they said out of pride or whatever reasons, usually I find out that they misunderstood certain information or just makes no sense. All right, so you want to be clear that this is all about getting the most out of what you're doing in the gym, getting the best results in the shortest period of time. But more importantly, with those mental factors like we talked about, you want to enjoy the process. You want to go in there knowing that you're on the right track. You want to have a certain level of emotional fulfillment, and that's what's going to help you continue on. Because I'll tell you this, you get 5 years in the gym, you get 10 years in the gym, whether you realize it or not, you're going to be getting gains, and you're gaining experience, so it's just time to appreciate that. Got a question that I think is a great question that I pulled off one of the websites. My question is more about cardio than about actual weightlifting. Been doing that for a long time, but I've never been able to get the cardio right to take off the last bits of body fat. I read some of your information on your site, but my question is this. Should I try to do longer periods of cardio in the morning when I get up on an empty stomach, or should I do longer sessions at night before I go to bed? I get a minimum of 1 hour of cardio a day. Should I increase that? I have been alternating between my elliptical at the house and the treadmill at the gym. I am stuck at 13% body fat right now, and I'm fighting to kick it off naturally. Any suggestions? Well, there's a lot of interesting points to be brought up from this one question. So let's just talk about this. Let's just talk about cardiovascular training and its part in the fat loss process. The first question I would ask anyone out there is, what do you think is most important when it comes to the fat loss process? Do you think it's cardiovascular training, or do you think it's your nutritional habits? And if you were to put them in an order priority, like, let's see, 50% cardio, 50% nutrition, I would have to know how much importance you put in each, because in this question, he's talking about these different cardio strategies, how long, in the morning, in the evening, Very little is talked about the way he eats those other 23 hours a day. And so how the priority is set up of how much attention that he should pay to cardio or to nutrition isn't quite clear. And I've mentioned this many times on the show, and I'm going to do it again because it seems to be an area of concern and just an area that needs more clarification is that he can do no cardio, none whatsoever, all right, and just be very meticulous with his eating habits and lose all the body fat that he needs. All right. Well, that goes so counterproductive than what you hear out there, right? When you see anybody, oh, I got to lose some body fat. What do? They put on the old school gray sweatsuit and they put on the old headband and they go running down the block, right? And get up a good sweat. That's how they're going to lose that body fat, right? Well, it's really how you eat. It's not when I say meticulous eating habits. Of course, you know, or you may know which foods to avoid, the fatty foods, too many calories, things like that, the desserts and things like that. You know, that's one part of meticulous eating habits, you know, limiting the obvious fatty junk type foods. There's a whole list of eating principles, organizing principles to the fat loss process. And you know, I've got it in a nice PDF form, the simple process when it comes to losing body fat. If you want to email me at skip@skiplacour.com, skip@skiplacour.com, I will send you that PDF file free, no charge, that has the organizing principles to effective weight loss and fat management. Again, that's more a lot more important than cardio, and it's not just avoiding those junk foods, it's also eating systematically in smaller, more frequent meals throughout the day, okay, because someone could avoid junk food and eat two meals a day, their body's going to hold on to that body fat. And again, getting back into the gym, doesn't matter how much cardio you do, what type of machine you're on, or how long you do it, your body's going to hold on to that body fat. So let's just clear up one thing. This question should be a lot more directed to the eating habits, especially when you're talking about that last bit of body fat. And that means different things to different people. That next level for him, just reading through this question, I would say that probably, more than likely, comes from the eating habits. To get to that little bit of body fat to make him happy, it's going to come through sharpening up his eating habits, even if he considers them good right now. Going to that next level with those eating strategies is what's going to get that fat off to make him happy. If you want to call into the show, call in the show right now with your questions. The phone number here is 347-326-9145, 347-326-9145. Okay, so now that we've gotten that out of the way, that, hey, we need to start focusing on our eating habits to lose that last bit of body fat, let's talk about the cardio. Let's talk about what cardio does. Cardio is just a way to rev up your metabolism. Okay, do you burn calories while you're on that elliptical machine? Do you burn them while on your treadmill? Yeah, you do. You do. But let me ask you this question. Okay, let's just say those machines, that they're accurate. And just say you burn 300 calories on a 45-minute session or whatever, right? Let's just assume that's accurate. All right, you burn 300 calories. How hard is it or how easy is it to eat in excess of 300 calories in a particular day? Just 150 calories on more than your body needs on two meals, that's 300 calories right there. That just neutralized, all right, that 40 minutes or so you did on the elliptical machine or the treadmill. Again, what's more important? How you eat, watching those calories, scheduling those meals, revving up your metabolism through your smaller, more frequent meals, or that time you spend doing cardio, all right? A lot of times, people may want to make up for poor eating habits with more cardio work. You can see by that example that I used before, the conversion ratio, the bang for your buck. If you're trying to play the catch-up game with more cardio, it's simply not going to work. As you overeat, your body can only do so much cardio before it starts protecting itself and not using it to burn calories or burn fat the way you want. So Do you burn calories while you're on the elliptical machine or on the treadmill? Yes, you do. Is that leading up to that fat loss process? I would say from my experience helping out passionate lifters all over the world that it's not burning calories or doing as much for the fat loss process as you've been led to believe. What cardio does, it revs up your metabolism. It gets it going. It gets that body running hotter, more efficiently. As it runs hotter and more efficiently, it burns more calories. It burns more calories in that hotter, more efficient state 2 hours after that cardio session, 3 hours after that cardio session. And that's when the fat loss process, that's the effect of cardio. That's when it really takes shape. 2 hours after that cardio session, 3 hours after that cardio session, later on that day, because your metabolism has been running hotter and more efficiently. It's not what you do on that cardio. So with that being said, an hour doing cardio versus actually wanting to increase it, I would say, look, if you're just trying to build muscle and limit your body fat, you're not trying to be some endurance athlete, you're preparing yourself to or trying to improve your performance in a particular sport, more than an hour of cardio is not necessary. And as a matter of fact, when we talk about cardio and levels of intensity, there's more than one way to approach this cardio. There's more than one way to skin a cat. And again, when you realize what you're really doing is you're revving up your metabolism for later on in the day anyway, you can see that you could pace yourself through an hour of cardio or do a lot harder driving type approach to cardio in maybe 20 minutes. All right. So more is not necessarily better, especially when you need to pace yourself and your output of energy just to get through the hour. So again, so there's certain questions about this. Again, when it comes to getting off that little bit of body fat, do you want to concentrate more on your nutritional habits than what type of cardio you do, how long you do it? And then you talked about eating on an empty stomach. And we'll talk about this more in detail in another session. Yet, you know, again, because you are revving up your metabolism, that's what cardio is doing for later on in the day anyway, really doesn't matter what's in your stomach at that particular moment. In the bigger picture, how you eat on the 24-hour scale, all right, how you budget that all throughout the day has more of an importance. So, you know, eating it on an empty stomach, that's something that you hear a lot about in the muscle magazines, the fitness magazines. And, you know, I did that during my career. I read the same information as you have. And, hey, it works. It's a lot of times when it comes to different training strategies, things work. They just may not work for the reasons why you think they do. All right? If you want to protect the muscle that you've already earned, there is a way of eating before your cardio session to preserve that muscle mass and actually, you know, fuel your cardio session and get that metabolism revving faster for later on. So eating on an empty stomach is not the optimal way. It's not going to hurt. You can eat with it on an empty stomach. That's just not the most effective, efficient way to burn body fat, understanding all those other principles that I've outlined. We have a caller from the 610 area code. Caller, are you there? 610.
Hey, Skip. It's Derek in Pennsylvania. How are you?
I'm awesome. Derek, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great.
Good. Do you have any comments or any questions about anything we've talked about?
Yeah. I'm sitting here just kind of soaking in what you're saying about the consistent cardio and how every day matters. And basically, the way I'm interpreting that for myself is that it's never okay for myself to have a cheat day. I'm not going to, you know, that's for everybody, but I think for myself, I would love to see how I am in another year where if I don't go, you know, to have any more cheat days for the next year, I want to see what my physique could possibly look like.
Yeah, that's quite an ambitious undertaking on your part. I admire that. as I'm broadcasting to the world through this talk radio show here live, or it's in its podcasted version, whether you're Apple iTunes or you're downloading it from the website, you know, that type of ambition probably doesn't appeal to the vast majority. I mean, wouldn't you agree with that from the guys you've been training with in the gym, Derek?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I call them, you know, Monday to Friday warriors because Saturday and Sunday is a different life.
Yeah, although, like I said, I appreciate your zeal and enthusiasm. And when I was a competitive bodybuilder, I mean, man, I was totally focused. I documented all my efforts for many, many months, not just right around contest time, on the internet for the world to see. And I had that type of dedication that you're talking about. It's a good thing for people to see and to shoot for. At the same time, that guy's crazy. There's no way, right? So there's a way for me to bridge this, not only deal with the super ambitious lifters as yourself, but also how's a way for someone who maybe who's just starting off, who has 3 months of training that can't even, you know, get himself into the gym the 4 or 5 days, being that Monday through Friday warrior is a challenge for him. And the reason why it's a challenge is because of this, all this uncertainty that he may have on how it all works. And I just think it's important, as you bring up this extreme example, very ambitious example, that it's not necessary. To have that body you want to go to the next level, to enjoy this whole process, you don't have to make such an ambitious goal of not eating any junk food, having any cheat days, so to speak. That's what, for those of you listening, what a cheat meal is. It's where you're normally going off a structured diet. You're enjoying some of the fatty foods or those foods that aren't good for you. It's just something that you allow yourself, a cheat day or a cheat meal. You don't have to go a whole year to have a great body. You don't. What I would suggest that you do is you just plan out your cheat meals, depending on the level that you're at right now with your body, how happy you are, and then what can you manage to go to that next level. You know, most people, they'll say, there's no way with my kids, my schedule, my travel, I know there's no way I can go, you know, 12 months without eating a cheat meal, okay? So, okay, fine. How about Monday through Friday? How about eat whatever you want on the weekend? Just be structured during the week. Okay, how's that mental setup or that nutritional plan for you? Make sure you follow through during the week. Set up as a sprint. I'm just going to sprint for 5 days. See, a lot of people would interpret what you're doing, Derek, as an endless marathon. There's no real beginning and there's no real end. So what happens if someone sets out for the goal, maybe yourself, Derek, this won't happen for you, though, and you say, I'm not going to cheat for a whole year. I'm not going to have a cheat meal for a whole year. And then what happens is, you know, something happens. Maybe you're just, I don't know, things aren't working out well for you, you know, emotionally with your business or your personal life, and you go for the comfort of food. Even machines, as I call those dedicated people, sometimes have breakdowns and they go for the emotional comfort of food, okay? What if that happens just, you know, 6 weeks into your one-year stretch, okay? See what happens, you're not even close to your goal and you've, quote-unquote, failed. How is your mind going to handle that, right? And if it took you so long to decide, hey, I'm going to go on this year-long to see how much I can push this, all right, well, and then 6 weeks later, you fell off the wagon, so to speak. You had a cheat meal and you really didn't plan. Well, when are you going to get enough courage and confidence and organize your life to get back on track again? All right?
Right.
If it took you this long to set up that goal, how long is it going to take you to set that up again after you just failed after doing it for 6 weeks? And God, who knows what's going to happen if you go another 5 weeks and fail again? So that stretch of time could be very long, present challenges mentally on how you set all this, especially for the long run. That's why I recommend that you are disciplined during the week. And for those of you going to school or those of you who have jobs, that's a lot of, because of your work schedule, it makes you get up at a certain time, it makes you go to bed at a certain time, and that's a good structure for other structure in life. Your training time has to be fit into a certain spot, because you have to go to work to earn money and be responsible to your employer. Okay, well, then that creates structure of when you eat. It's easy to be structured Monday through Friday. All right? So
right.
Use that as a 5-day sprint, create that structure, and then eat what you want on the weekends, or don't eat what you want on the weekends. See, I give people the option to eat whatever they want on the weekends. Usually, because they've been so disciplined, so focused, because they sprinted for those 5 days. When it comes to the weekend, they may have one or two cheat meals, but they don't want to just go totally overboard. It's also the time, and when we talked about with the other question about, you know, the cardio and the eating strategies, one of the important things about eating is to have the smaller, more frequent meals. That takes a lot of work, takes a lot of preparation, takes a lot of thought to eat those smaller, more frequent meals. The weekends don't have to be all about eating whatever it is you want, those cheat meals, as you put it. It can also be giving yourself a break and maybe only eating three meals, good meals or whatever, rather than the six meals. Again, setting up in a sprint, 5 days of focused, concentrated eating, and then giving yourself a break, whether you take yourself up on that or not. That's up to you. It's when you give yourself some leeway so there's not failing. Okay, and just say it's Wednesday, you fall off the wagon, you have a cheat meal, something comes up that we talked about. Well, you know that Monday is coming up again, and that's the start of every week. Stop, start, stop, start. A series of sprints rather than an endless marathon. So, Derek, hold on the line. I'm going to answer a question from the chat room. And this is from Nick47, and he's talking about being 60 years old, Nick, and talking about the Max OT training program, the more heavy lifting with the fewer reps, 4 to 6 rep range. And again, if you're out there and you want to learn more about what is this Max OT training, all right, go to the AST Sports Science website, ast-ss.com. There's a link on the lower right-hand corner that introduces you to this entire Max OT training program. It's quite extensive inside. You sign up to get a free account in which you can go back to time and time again and study up all this. You'll have pictures and illustrations and complete explanations of all the different facets. So go to ast-ss.com, click the link on the lower right-hand corner, and sign up for the Max OT training program. Now, getting back to Nick at 60 years old, he wants to know about this Max OT training, and he wants to know about the 4 to 6 reps. Hey, is that going to work for him? All right, well, let me just tell you something. Whether you're 18 years old, or 25 years old, or 35 years old, or 60 years old, in your case, Nick, creating the demand for the muscle to grow, overloading with heavy training, you know, that's what stimulates, again, the most muscle in the shortest period of time and the least amount of effort, all right? When it should be understood, when I'm talking about muscle building, okay, all these strategies that I'm talking about, it's will you get strength in the gym? Sure you will. And but this is about building muscle in the shortest period of time. And when you do that with your cardiovascular training, it's keeping you lean and getting you lean in the shortest period of time with the least amount of effort. I mean, it's not about 5 hours worth of training in the gym. Could you do a training program that takes you 5 hours each day in the gym? And can you see results? Hey, there's no doubt about it. That type of effort, that type of consistency, you're going to see results. So sometimes I have people coming to me and they talk about, hey, well, I'm getting results and I do it in this much time. I do, you know, 5 million sets or so many reps and things like that. And look, I'm getting great results. I'm not going to question that. You know when you're getting results. My question would be, what's going to give you those same results or better in a shorter period of time? Maybe it's not important for you to spend less than 3 hours a day in the gym. You want it so badly, you don't care. That's fine. Most people I deal with want to get better results in a shorter period of time, and they don't want to deal with steroids or other illegal drugs. They want to do it through hard work, through dedication. They're not afraid to put in that work. So how do we do it in the shortest period of time so we don't have to be tempted with steroids? How can we go on for 45 minutes a day, 5 days a week, just bust up the muscle, get the heck out of there, enjoy the rest of our lives at the same time? And isn't that what steroids or other shortcuts are for? How can I see the best results in the shortest period of time with the least amount of work? Well, this is, you know, a legal way to get the best results. Am I saying that this is going to be comparable to using steroids or other performing-enhancing drugs? No, I'm not. But if you've chosen to just incorporate healthy living into your everyday life, and that isn't even an option for you, well, this is what you need to listen to. All right, so Nick, at 60 years old, the muscle building process is exactly the same as it was when you were 30 years old. The difference is you know, how much your body can now assist you in actually recovery and actually producing more muscle. It's not going to be as effective and efficient your body at recuperating, recovering, and building more muscle back when it was 30 years old. And that's fine. Look, my body does not do that. I'm just making the most of what I have in my age. And if I'm doing everything, that's going to be good enough. All right? So sometimes, and then, Nick, you talked about, well, I am doing that, and, you know, it's working out for my legs or my shoulders or my back. It's not working, I don't know, for my chest or whatever body parts you're having sticking point. You know, that necessarily isn't because of, you know, their rep routine or their training strategy. There could be a lot of different reasons. You know, different body parts may genetically be stimulated easier than others. I say may about that because, you know, look, if you've got a lagging body part or you have a genetic deficiency, I wouldn't even put it that way, it just isn't as responsive as another body part, what good does it serve you to say, well, I'm genetically limited? What happens when you put that type of label on yourself about being genetically limited when it comes to your chest or your arms or something like that is your mind will stop looking for a creative way to analyze what you're doing to do it more efficiently. You'll just give up basically and say, hey, well, there's nothing I can do about my chest. I'll tell you this. Most people I see training in the gym, when they work their chest, they're working their shoulders and their arms. So they may think that they don't have a genetically gifted chest or it's a lagging body part. They're not even working their chest. What they're doing, these bench presses, they get overly concerned about weight or just getting the bar from point A to point B, and they're using their shoulders and their arms and their back or whatever it takes, you know, instead of maybe lighting up on the weight and really closing their eyes and really thinking about the chest muscles, moving it through. If I was your coach right now, and I were just to say, even you're just listening to this at home near your computer or you're listening to this in your podcast at the gym, just stop for a moment. Just stop for a moment and just simulate an upright barbell bench press position, all right? And I just want you to move your arms up and down in that position, all right? Don't really think about it. Just move it up and down. Move it up and down, up and down, okay? Feel that feeling, all right? Now what I want you to do is do that same motion, but I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to actually feel a burning, warm sensation. If you were to visualize what color your chest muscles would be, I would say visualize a glowing redness, red glow to those chest muscles, and a warm feeling of blood pulsing through that chest. As I say these words, you actually can feel the warm blood flowing through your chest muscles. All right? You can actually see them glowing with red, you know, pulsating light to them, okay? Look, you don't even have weights in your hand, and you can feel that warmth going through your chest. That's how important the mind-muscle connection is. All right, now that you feel that warm blood flowing through your chest, pumping through each muscle in your chest, and you actually see that red glow of your chest, now go up and down in that same motion as an inclined bench press. Squeeze the muscles at the top, at the bottom, and through the whole movement. All right? Do that 5 times. All right? Now put your hands down. Just by going up and down like that, do you feel a big difference how your chest is responding? All right? So when someone says, hey, I do bench press, I do incline dumbbell presses or whatever, my chest can't seem to grow. My question to you would be, do you feel it? Do you actually feel it? Do you see it the same way I just put you through that exercise? My answer would be probably not. Not only do you need to have that same type of mind-muscle connection, that intuitiveness, that sensory acuity to that individual muscle that you're working, not just with your chest, but every single muscle group, okay? worry about what it is you're doing, getting the most out of your genetic potential, rather than saying, hey, I just can't get my chest to grow. All right? It's that important. It's that important. So it may not be the max OT routine. It may not be the rep range. It may be you're just not feeling it like you did on that particular exercise. Caller from the 910 area code. Caller, are you there? 910.
Hey, Skip. It's Jason from Wilmington, North Carolina. How are you, buddy?
I am awesome, Jason. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing real well. I've got a couple of questions for you. It's ironic some of the things that you've been talking about with the nutrition and whatnot. I have some unique circumstances, being that I have type 2 diabetes, and I'm extremely carbohydrate sensitive. So in looking at your bodybuilding nutrition book that I have, some of the nutritional strategies as far as the macronutrient manipulation and stuff, I'm not necessarily able to follow. So
Right.
Obviously, I can't have the rice and the potatoes and stuff because I have these huge spikes in my blood sugar levels.
Uh-huh.
I'm wanting to compete in about 25 weeks. And one of the side effects of type 2 diabetics in males is an increased amount of abdominal fat. So that's a very troubled area for me. What are your thoughts on your carbohydrates coming in from, say, just a mixed vegetables? What vegetables do you feel like are, you understand where I'm going with this, and how much fat?
I know exactly what you're talking about. And one thing, as I've evolved and as I've aged, I have to be more refined in my eating habits, and the starchy carbohydrates that a, you know, just say a 22-year-old or whatever, all throughout the day. When I was 30 years old, 32 years old, that was a very effective strategy of eating, just say, Natural Pro meal replacement would be one meal, and then chicken and rice with broccoli would be the next meal. Then I would have a Natural Pro 40 meal replacement, then I'd have the same chicken and rice. A lot of rice throughout the day. My body was able to handle that. As I became more efficient in my eating habits, I realized that I would have to do it a little bit differently, and that was the introduction of eating just massive amounts of green vegetables. All right, so you know, you get that metabolism working. You get carbohydrates, a different form of glycemic valued carbohydrates, that it stays more regulated, right? And then because it's so important to you for your overall health. Well, when do you need to have those spikes? When is it the best time for you? All right. So the best time for you would be right before your workout and then that three-hour window after it. So that means you have 21 hours of the day to keep those sugars regulated with the lower glycemic carbohydrates, like with tons and tons of vegetables. Okay. So 3 hours is when you would try to get the most starchy carbohydrates to aid in the repair and recovery, and also help the body assimilate that protein. And then the other 21 hours a day, you keep it low and even with those vegetables. Does that make sense to you, how I explain that?
Right, because I know I can eat like a couple of new potatoes or red potatoes right after my workout without causing a spike, whereas if I would eat those, say, you know, just in the middle of the day or, you know, away from that three-hour window, it creates mass havoc. And I guess the thing that I'm looking for is, I noticed you, in a lot of your writings, you were eating a lot of mixed vegetables. So you think I should stick more with just the green, stay away from the multicolored because of the different sugar content in them? Or?
Well, you know, you want to be – it's easier to stay with – the just all green vegetables. Now, is there enough sugar in the mixed colored vegetables? I don't really think so. You can play that as, you know, closely as you can. The overall vegetables, what that will do for your body, you know, get us, if you want to cut out more sugars, see how that affects you. A gigantic difference for most people, it's, you know, that sugar content is nothing to when you have mixed colored vegetables or green vegetables. Now, for you, if you want to tighten up a little, you'll get all the benefits from eating all green vegetables and avoiding that sugar content in the colored vegetables. All right?
Right.
It's also how, you know, tightly you want to do this, okay? So you may have high blood sugar levels. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean it's an all or nothing kind of thing, or you just have to be smart about it? So the 3-hour window right before your workout and right afterwards is when you want to spike up your insulin levels through the type of carbohydrates that you eat. You want to spike it up so that it pushes the protein for that recovery to maximize muscle growth and also to minimize muscle loss as you're dieting down for this contest, okay? Could you just eat all vegetables all day long to make sure for you, yourself, your doctor, and your family that your health is of utmost importance? Yes, you can. You're just going to be more strict with all those meals, and you're going to have to make sure you take your protein. You're just not going to have, it's not going to maximize the protein absorption, but it won't. You're not going to not absorb it at all. So does that make sense? What you need to do is decide, hey, how important is to me on my health level to keep them totally regulated rather than somewhat regulated, right? So if you're not a betting man or you don't even want to take the chance, this bodybuilding contest is just a fun challenge for you. I can say that you're gonna get, you know, good results just being meticulous, consistent. Just eat your protein and green vegetables all throughout the day. All right, then you won't have to worry about those spikes at all. Will you maximize your protein absorption? Probably not, but your health is most important to you. All right.
Right. Okay.
Did you have another question in regards to that?
Yeah, I was just wondering, you know, should I, you know, I know you talked about at one point in time that one of the IFBB pros said something about adding the good fats to your diet to help you seem a lot fuller. Now, is that something that you would recommend for me to help me maintain some of that muscle fullness because I'm not going to have the glycogen stores from the
Well, you know, here's the basic point when we're talking about health, and I remember that story that you're talking about is that I was like most people. Hey, I'm dedicated. I'm passionate. I'll do whatever it takes to be the best. And when you want to get lean, the common belief as a beginner, all right, or when you're less experienced in pushing yourself to find out what the best eating strategy is, they say to avoid fat, right? So adding fat to your diet, whether it's olive oil, canola oil, flaxseed oil, or any combination of those type of omega oils, that's ludicrous. Adding calories, you've got to keep those calories down. We're certainly not going to add calories from fat, right? Would you agree with me, Jason, that whether it's, you know, the people you train in the gym or yourself back when you first started, you know, going through this process, that avoiding fat was something very high on your list?
Oh, yeah. I think old school nutrition, and as I've developed over the years, it's changed. It used to be, you know, low fat, moderate carb, kind of high protein, and there's, you know, a huge flip in that. But then again, you look at some of the old school bodybuilding diets, the old steak and eggs diet that, you know, so, you know.
Let me just address that quickly. I mean, I get that a lot where, you know, well, look at Arnold, he ate like this or whoever, right? There's a lot of different factors on building the ultimate physique rather than just one, not a training strategy, not an eating strategy. You can have a mediocre training strategy that isn't quite so effective. It's just okay and make up for it with doing it for a longer period of time, being more consistent than most, or having impeccable eating habits. And it can make that average okay training strategy look brilliant. So there's a lot of different factors that are involved when it comes to that. So old school, whatever. And when you say old school, as I have so much experience, I mean, old school is here today. A lot of information is just regurgitated over and over and over again and without real explanation or thought. And I would say the majority have a challenge on getting current with the most effective strategies because what worked, you know, they were eating apple pies with those steaks back then and they looked fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay? So there's all those other factors that weren't considered. The point that I'm making is you should have good fats in your diet to just be a healthy person because in addition to be the type of bodybuilder that you want to be, you also want to be healthy. This is for health, gentlemen. Okay, so it's the introduction, learning more about good fats. We can talk about that on another show. My point is that good fats are important to the digestive process, the muscle building process, and just the health process. Hey, thanks for joining the show today. If you have any questions, email me at skiplacore.com. Have a great week.
Hi, this is Skip LaCour. Thank you for joining me on this archived or podcasted show. I want to invite you to join me live during the show every Sunday and let me help you solve your bodybuilding and training problems personally. Visit my website at www.skiplacour.com for more information on training, nutrition, supplementation, and motivation. And take the time to sign up on my list for free weekly tips, messages, and website updates that will be sent to you by email. If you have any questions about anything I've discussed during the show, or any other questions for that matter, email them to me at skip@skiplacour.com. I'd also like to take this time to invite you to listen to The Manformation Show. It's a weekly talk show where I discuss strategies that help transform you into the man you really want to be. You can go to www.manformation.com to get more information about this concept that will help you take your life to the next level. Bookmark your web browser now to www.manformationradio.com and join the live show every Saturday morning.